around the table this morning. We're going to come now to the Lord's Word. And we're going to read from God's Holy Word. And we're going to look at Galatians chapter 5. We have used this as our main text. And we're going to read verses 13 down to 26 this morning. So that's Galatians 5, verses 13 to 26. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 19. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Lord, this morning, as we turn to your most holy word, we pray that, Father God, we will be inspired and encouraged to live the way you desire us to live. God, we pray for your help this morning as we communicate your word to these good folk. God, I just pray, Holy Spirit, you will take your word and you will plant it deep, and we will see a change, Lord, in our lives because of you. God, we just thank you, Lord, today for your goodness. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Well, as I say, this morning we're going to look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is goodness. I think each and every one of us really love a good versus evil story, don't we? People have made millions through writing about it and doing blockbuster movies about that whole story of good conquering over evil. And you know, in a world that, and Darren alluded to this morning as we came around the table, we're living in a world now, and it just seems to be the things that used to be good and would be celebrated are now frowned upon. You know, the things that are bad and are hurtful and depraved are almost celebrated now. There are things that, you know, let's go with the flow and let's think this is great, and it's not. Good has become, or bad has become good, and vice versa. And this has been a really terrible year, hasn't it? It's been a terrible year for everyone and a difficult year for everyone. And yet, in the midst of this pandemic and all that's gone on, we've seen horrible stories of people who have been duped, people who have had money stolen off them because people have played on their fear and their vulnerability. But thankfully, even in the midst of all of that there, we've also seen some wonderful acts of kindness, some wonderful acts of goodness, where people have gone beyond their duty to help people and to love people, to care. And even when we think about those who have served in our national service and the hospitals and have really gone into work knowing that they could die themselves by just being there as they looked after loved ones for us. We've had amazing things. Some very privately have worked on the extra mile for people, and then with people who have inspired all of us by going the extra mile publicly. I'm sure that we all just love Sir Captain Tom. Hasn't he been brilliant? He's so inspiring to think of what he has done and the money that he's raised. I heard a story about one of you guys this week. That's why I love his pointers so much. And I believe one of our own has been making extra soup and stew and been giving it to some of our neighbours because some of them have got challenges in their lives and just need a mother's heart. And one of you guys have been out there doing it very quietly, working away in the background. I'm also very taken just now with this young fella, Marcus Rushford. Isn't it amazing what he's doing? Trying to really appeal to government at the minute, once again, to feed the children in the UK that nobody goes hungry to bed. And if you haven't signed that petition, there's a petition out there, folks. If you haven't signed it already, we'd encourage you to sign. In fact, we'll send a link out for that today. Do that no child in the UK would go to bed hungry. I just think it's amazing that this young fella, he's been so good, has shared his story. He's become vulnerable himself. I think a lot of us, if we grew up in that poverty, we'd probably want to get away from that and not mention it again. And yet this young fella has stood out there to say how difficult it was for his mom, how difficult it was for them to grow up in that situation. And he has shared that vulnerability and inspiring even now business owners. And it's great to hear the business owners already have started to step in and started to make food for children in England. I want to read, just in case you haven't seen this, but I want to read this wee bit that he wrote this week after being honoured with the MBE. He says, "I'm incredibly honoured and humbled. As a young black man from Wythenshawe, I think it's pronounced, never did I think I could be accepted, I would be accepted in an MBE. Never mind an MBE at the age of 22. This is a very special moment for myself and my family, but particularly my mum, who is the real deserving recipient of the honour." I thought that was lovely, wasn't it, that he mentioned his wee mum. "The fight to protect our most vulnerable children is far from over. I would be doing my community and the families I have met and spoken with an injustice if I didn't use this opportunity to respectfully urge the Prime Minister, who recommended me for this honour, to support our children during the October half term with an extension of the voucher scheme. As the furlough scheme comes to an end and we face increased unemployment, another sticking plaster, but one that would give the parents of millions of children in the UK just one less thing to worry about. Let's stand together and say that no children in the UK should be going to bed hungry. As I have said many times before, no matter your feeling or opinion, not having access to food is never the child's fault." And I just called in the news this morning, there is something good about this young lad. That even those that have come against, those members of Parliament that have said no to this bill being passed, he went online this week to say, "Look, stop criticising them, stop, you know, saying horrible things about them." I just think within this young fella, there is something so good. And this is what it's about this morning. We're looking at this series and we're pressing into God for God to change us to be more like him and for us to develop the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And friends, it's an inside job. It doesn't happen on its own, but it happens when we press in to our great God and when we feed on his precious words. And we know where goodness really comes from. In James 1:17, we read, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows." And if you can't think of something to praise God for today, you can praise God for this. Psalm 107:1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." We can be thankful in our hearts. Say, okay, church this morning, maybe we can't sing, but we can say, "Lord, we give you thanks because your love endures forever and you're a good, good Father." And we thank God for the goodness of our God. And it is his goodness, friends, that our world needs to see. It is his goodness that God wants us to live in, operate in, and show people around about us. Now, the Greek word for goodness is agathosune. And that just basically means this, an uprightness of heart, an uprightness of life. It's goodness that others will benefit from. It's goodness not just for this, our sake or the sake of our virtue. It's goodness that flows out of us for the goodness of the sake of others, just like Jesus, who would choose to come and die. But he did it to honour his Father. He did it because of his intense love for you and I. And that's why he's a good father and a good Christ, a good son of the Lord. He is good, and we are to reflect his goodness today. Fruit growing within us, or said again, is an inside job by the power of the Holy Spirit. Philippians 1 and 6 says this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Our good God, who sent his good Son to do good work, wants us to do good works as well, that other people may glorify our Father, that other people may know the touch of God through goodness. And do you know, where you have done good in the past, it was ordained by your God. It was ordained by God. And sometimes when we do somebody a good turn, maybe the response isn't always good. Sometimes we tell, well, I'll not do that again, or we can get offended. But you know, I want to encourage you to keep doing good, because it is ordained of God. But when the Lord did good on the cross, he was still spat at. They still shouted accusations against him. They still caused him pain. But he still went ahead and did that good for you and I. This is ordained. Ephesians 2 and 10 tells us this. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, so to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Let's communicate with the Holy Spirit. Let's be open to the Spirit of God to say, what are those good works you want me to do, and get involved in this kingdom work? Matthew 5, 13 and 16 says this. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. God created you to do good. He created you to behave good, to do good, that other people may be glorified, that the Lord may be glorified through all that we do. We were created for good. Nicky Gumbel, the minister at Holy Trinity Brompton, and mostly known for the work that he does through Alpha, tweeted this just the other day. The Church of England has 16,000 churches, 8,000 food banks, 5,000 lunch clubs, 4,000 parent toddler groups, 2,700 community hubs, cafes, 2,400 night shelters, 2,300 breakfast or holiday club. And he said this, an independent study has found that our church's value to society is worth £12.4 billion. And some people say the church isn't relevant to our world today. And that's just the Church of England. Never mind the other denominations, the other streams, the other tribes, the other independent churches like ourselves who are reaching out to their community and helping the community to show God's love in our nation. And the great thing about fruit is this. God always is willing to give us an opportunity to minister into that and to show that fruit in our lives. And the great thing about this being good, we don't need to organise a team to do it. We can do it individually on our own, and we can show good to the people that we rub shoulders with. We are to be scattered saints. We are to get out there into our community, and we are to help people and minister to people and to love people and show them the goodness of our God. Look at the Lord Jesus' teaching about the Good Samaritan. A man on his journey from Jerusalem to Jericho. And on his way, he's attacked, he's beaten, he's stripped of everything, and he's left for half dead. And along comes a priest, someone, and I would dare say the man's come from Jerusalem to Jericho. We could certainly say he was probably a Jew. And here a priest who was supposed to minister to people and be God's leg between God and man and help people, when he sees this man in a terrible situation, what does he do? Instead of going for this man's aid, he walks across the road, goes to the other side. He ignores this guy. And then the Levite comes along again, you know, the priest's helper, someone who would be very much involved in worship and carrying utensils in the temple, someone who was used to minister. And yet this Levite again sees the man, crosses over, and walks on by. But then a Samaritan comes. And if you know anything about the history of the Samaritans and the Jews, they're a bit like oil and water. They did not mix. People would actually go the long way around. A Jewish man would go the long way around not to go through Samaria because they hated the Samaritans. They just did not get on at all. And yet when this guy is going along the road, we read this. A Samaritan traveling came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity. In other words, he had compassion on this man. And he went to him, he bandaged his wounds, he poured on oil and wine, and then he put the man on his donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you have. Church, this guy didn't walk by. And we as a people of God need to know that His Holy Spirit has planted good in us, and we need to act in that good, and we need to be praying that God opens our eyes and that we're not the people that just walk on by. And do you see here that this goodness was inspired by His compassion? I love that part of the New Testament where it talks about how Jesus wept over Jerusalem, how He, you know, wanted to draw them in because they were a people without a shepherd. He was concerned of their plight, and He wanted to do good for them and help them, but they didn't want to be drawn in. God wants us to be those good people who have compassion for our neighbours and those that are in need, that we share the goodness of God with those. And this guy did what he could. He did a wee bit of first aid. He took out some oil and wine. He dressed the wound. And look at the effort he put in. There's nothing here in Scripture to say how big he was, or small he was, or how big the injured man was, or small he was, but you know, it took effort to lift somebody, put them on the horse. It took that effort and that desire to put that person on the horse, and he was not, when he was ministering to his wounds, he was not afraid to get messy. He was not afraid to get dirty from this guy, but he ministered into that situation. Can we be a people that are not afraid to get our hands dirty? Can we be a people who are not afraid to be contaminated by our world, but in fact, we want to be light in our darkness? And this Samaritan, he was extravagant with his time. I know sometimes we can be so busy that we don't notice things, but here he took time to do this, to get this man at an inn, and he obviously stayed looking after this man during the night. And then when he had to go, he's extravagant with his money. He says 2 denarii, that was 2 days' wages. He gave this guy, and then he says this, I will cover the way back, and I'll give you anything else that is needed to help this man out. Isn't that extravagant? And there was no, I'll only pay up to such and such, I'll only give to this. This man says, whatever I owe you on the way back, I will come and I will pay you that this man is cared for. I don't know about you this morning, but this inspires me. It inspires me to want to be good. It inspires me to want to share the goodness of God, but it also convicts me. Convicts me of times when, in my life, instead of stopping to help, maybe I have walked on by because of being too busy or too concerned with myself, or maybe at times probably thinking, I have nothing to offer. I have nothing to give. And yet, the honesty is, we can all give a wee bit of love, a wee bit of care, a wee bit of goodness of our soul to someone else. And maybe if you're honest enough to be like me and think, yeah, actually, there have been times I have walked on by and I should have stopped, I should have helped when maybe neighbours asked me for something and I haven't done it, or all of those things. How do we get that right again in our lives? What do we do to make that right? Well, here we are, friends, right to the core of producing these fruit within us. We need to get back close to the Spirit of God and abide in Him, and allow Him to abide in us. Do you remember Luke 10:42, when it's recorded about how Mary set the feet of Jesus? Instead of being busy like Martha, Martha was miffed at her that she didn't come and help her to do the cooking, when she was choosing to sit at the Master's feet, and the Lord said, leave her alone, she's done a good thing. Church, when we are unable and find it hard to be good, do we not just need to get back and sit in His presence and at His feet and allow Him to minister to us and put us at the right, get us the right perspective in ourselves that we can become the men and the women of God that God wants us to be. And secondly, it's all about the Spirit and the Word. We need to be in His presence, but listen to what 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, and you know it so well. All Scripture is God-breathed, and it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So if you want to be doing good in your life for others, you need the impact and the empowering of the Spirit of God. You need to spend time with them to be like Him. Earlier on, somebody just said to me, they'd watched Jordan do the preach last week, and they said, his mannerisms are so like you. He's like your double up there when he's preaching. And do you know why? Because we've spent so much time and each other's presence. And as children of God, do we not want to reflect the image of the Father and of the Son? Do we not want to reflect? And we do that by spending time in the Word together, spending time in His presence. To have this uprightness of heart and life, we need to abide that the goodness of God rubs off on us. And as I bring this message to close this morning, church, here's the wee litmus test that you're really able to do good. Jesus said this, to those who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. When you're able to do good to those that despise and hate you, you know you've been spending time in the presence, and you've been spending time with the Word of God, that you're desiring to change, to become more like the Son. I wish I knew who said this wee quote, because I think it's brilliant. And I'm just going to share it with you as I close this morning. Just as a cup of water will spill water when bumped, a believer who is filled with the Spirit will spill the goodness when just. Can I say that again? Just as a cup of water will spill water when bumped, a believer who is filled with the Spirit will spill goodness when jostled. Church, this day, no matter who bumps into you this week, no matter who rubs you up the wrong way, I pray the Holy Spirit will take control of your life and you will pour out goodness. Goodness to others, that our Father will be glorified, and that they would see the Son within our lives. Can I pray with you this morning, church? Father, we thank you, Lord, for this group of people who've come to church this morning to acknowledge you by coming onto your word, by joining with us as we've read Psalms of praise. And Lord, today we humbly bow and we say, Lord Jesus, will you make us more like you? Help us to live in your realm and not our own. And I pray in this week as we take on a new week with new challenges. May we look to do good in our world, in our community, and Lord God, as we are scattered saints and go out into our world today, may, Father, we choose to do good, to bring honour for your name and for your glory, and to please the heart of Jesus. Lord, thank you for the good that the church already does, but I pray that, Lord, in these strange days, that the church will not hide its light, but we will shine for your honour and your glory. In Jesus' precious name.